In the United States District Court for the Middle District of Pennsylvania, Tammy Kitzmiller et al., plaintiffs, versus Dover Area School District et al., defendants. Memorandum opinion of Judge Jones, December 20th, 2005. Introduction. On October 18, 2004, the defendant's Dover Area School Board of Directors passed by a 6-3 vote the following resolution. Students will be made aware of gaps, problems in Darwin's theory, and of other theories of evolution, including, but not limited to, intelligent design. Note, origins of life is not taught. On November 19, 2004, the defendant, Dover Area School District, announced by press release that commencing in January 2005, teachers would be required to read the following statement to students in the ninth grade biology class at Dover High School. The Pennsylvania academic standards require students to learn about Darwin's theory of evolution and eventually to take a standardized test of which evolution is a part. Because Darwin's theory is a theory, it continues to be tested as new evidence is discovered. The theory is not a fact. Gaps in the theory exist for which there is no evidence. A theory is defined as a well-tested explanation that unifies a broad range of observations. Intelligent design is an explanation of the origin of life that differs from Darwin's view. The reference book of Pandas and People is available for students who might be interested in gaining an understanding of what intelligent design actually involves. With respect to any theory, students are encouraged to keep an open mind. The school leaves the discussion of the origins of life to individual students and their families. As a standards-driven district, class instruction focuses upon preparing students to achieve proficiency on standards-based assessments. Part A, Background and Procedural History. On December 14, 2004, plaintiffs filed the instant suit challenging the constitutional validity of the October 18, 2004 resolution and November 19, 2004 press release, collectively the ID policy. It is contended that the ID policy constitutes an establishment of religion prohibited by the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, which is made applicable to the states by the 14th Amendment, as well as the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Plaintiffs seek declaratory and injunctive relief, nominal damages, costs, and attorney's fees. This court's jurisdiction arises under 28 U.S. Code sections 1331, 1343, and 42 U.S. Code section 1983. In addition, the power to issue declaratory judgments is expressed in 28 U.S. Code sections 2201 and 2202. This court has supplemental jurisdiction over the plaintiff's cause of action arising under the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania pursuant to 28 U.S. Code section 1367. Venue is proper in this district under 28 U.S. Code section 1391B because one or more defendants reside in this district, all defendants reside in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and the events or omissions giving rise to the claims at issue occurred in this district. For the reasons that follow, we hold that the ID policy is unconstitutional pursuant to the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment of the United States Constitution and Article 1, Section 3 of the Pennsylvania Constitution. Part B, the parties to the action. We will now introduce the individual plaintiffs and provide information regarding their acquaintance with the biology curriculum controversy. Tammy Kitzmiller, resident of Dover, Pennsylvania, is a parent of a child in the ninth grade and a child in the 11th grade at Dover High School. She did not attend any board meetings until November 2004 and first learned of the biology curriculum controversy from reading local newspapers. Brian and Christy Rem, residents of Dover, Pennsylvania, are parents of a child in the 8th grade, a child in the 2nd grade, a child in kindergarten in the Dover Area School District, and a child of preschool age. They intend for their children to attend Dover High School. Brian Rem learned of the biology curriculum controversy by virtue of being a member of the science faculty at Dover Area High School. Before and after his resignation, he regularly attended board meetings. His wife, fellow plaintiff Christy Rem, learned of the biology curriculum controversy by virtue of discussions she had with her husband and also regularly attended board meetings in 2004. Deborah F. Fenimore and Joel A. Lieb, residents of Dover, Pennsylvania, are the parents of a child in the 12th grade at Dover High School and a child in the 7th grade in the Dover Area School District. They intend for their 7th grade child to attend Dover High School. Lieb first learned of a change in the biology curriculum by reading local newspapers. Stephen Stowe, resident of Dover, Pennsylvania, is a parent of a child in the 8th grade in the Dover Area School District and intends for his child to attend Dover High School. Stowe did not attend any board meetings until December 2004, and prior to that, he had learned of the biology curriculum change by reading the local newspapers. Beth A. Eveland, resident of York, Pennsylvania, is a parent of a child in the 1st grade in the Dover Area School District and a child of preschool age who intends for her children to attend Dover High School. Eveland attended her first board meeting on June 14, 2004, and prior to that, she had learned of the issues relating to the purchase of the biology books from reading the York Daily Record newspaper. Cynthia Sneath, resident of Dover, Pennsylvania, is the parent of a child in the 1st grade in the Dover Area School District and a child of preschool age who intends for her children to attend Dover High School. Sneath first attended her board meeting on October 18, 2004, and prior to that, she had learned of the biology curriculum controversy from local newspapers. Julie Smith, resident of York, Pennsylvania, is a parent of a child in the 10th grade at Dover High School. Smith did not attend a board meeting in 2004. She learned of and followed the biology curriculum controversy by reading local newspapers. Araline Barry Callahan and Frederick B. Callahan, residents of Dover, Pennsylvania, are parents of a child in the 10th grade at Dover High School. Barry Callahan learned of the biology curriculum controversy by virtue of her status of a former board member and from attending board meetings. Fred Callahan learned of the biology curriculum controversy based upon discussions with his wife, Barry, and from attending board meetings. The defendants include the Dover Area School District, hereinafter DASD, and the Dover Area School District Board of Directors, the board, collectively defendants. Defendant DASD is a municipal corporation governed by a board of directors, which is the board. The DASD is comprised of Dover Township, Washington Township, and Dover Borough, all of which are located in York County, Pennsylvania. There are approximately 3,700 students in the DASD, with approximately 1,000 attending Dover High School. The trial commenced on September 26, 2005 and continued through November 4, 2005. This memorandum opinion constitutes the court's findings of fact and conclusions of law, which are based upon the court's review of the evidence presented at trial, the testimony of the witnesses at trial, the parties' proposed findings of fact and conclusions of law with supporting briefs, other documents and evidence in the record, and applicable law. Further orders and judgments will be in conformity with this opinion. Part C, Federal Jurisprudential Legal Landscape. As we will review the federal jurisprudential legal landscape in detail below, we will accordingly render only an abbreviated summary of that terrain by way of an introduction at this juncture. The religious movement known as fundamentalism began in 19th century America as a response to social changes, new religious thought, and Darwinism. Religiously motivated groups pushed state legislatures to adopt laws prohibiting public schools from teaching evolution, culminating in the Scopes Monkey Trial of 1925. In 1968, a radical change occurred in the legal landscape when, in Epperson versus Arkansas, the Supreme Court struck down Arkansas's statutory prohibition against teaching evolution. Religious proponents of evolution thereafter championed balanced treatment statutes, requiring public school teachers who taught evolution to devote equal time to teaching the biblical view of creation. However, courts realized that this tactic to be another attempt to establish the biblical version of the creation of man. Fundamentalist opponents of evolution responded with a new tactic suggested by Daniel versus Waters reasoning, which was ultimately found to be unconstitutional under the First Amendment, namely to utilize scientific-sounding language to describe religious beliefs and then to require that schools teach the resulting creation science or scientific creationism as an alternative to evolution. In Edwards versus Arkansas, the Supreme Court held that a requirement that public schools teach creation science along with evolution violated the Establishment Clause. The import of Edwards is that the Supreme Court turned the proscription against teaching creation science in the public school into a national prohibition. Part D, consideration of the applicability of the endorsement and Lemon tests to assess the constitutionality of the ID policy. Having briefly touched upon the salient legal framework, it is evident that as the cases and controversies have evolved over time, so too has the methodology that courts employ in evaluating Establishment Clause claims. We initially observed that the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment of the United States Constitution provides that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. The prohibition against the establishment of religion applies to the states through the 14th Amendment. The parties are in agreement that an applicable test in the case sub judice to ascertain whether the challenged ID policy is unconstitutional under the First Amendment is that of Lemon versus Kurtzman. Defendants, however, object to using the endorsement test, first arguing that it applies only to religious display cases, and most recently asserting that it applies to the limited Establishment Clause cases, including a policy or practice in question that involves a facially religious display, an overtly religious group or organization using government facilities, the provision of public funding or government resources to overtly religious groups engaged in religious activity, or the permission of an overtly religious practice. After a searching review of the Supreme Court and Third Circuit Court of Appeals precedent, it is apparent to this court that both the endorsement test and the Lemon test should be employed in this case to analyze the constitutionality of the ID policy under the Establishment Clause for the reasons that follow. Since a majority of the Supreme Court first implemented the endorsement test in County of Allegheny versus ACLU in 1989, the Supreme Court and the Third Circuit have consistently applied the test to all types of Establishment Clause cases, notably cases involving religion in public school settings. In Santa Fe Independent School District versus Doe in 2000, the Supreme Court applied the endorsement test to school-sponsored prayer at high school football games. In Santa Fe, the Supreme Court clearly defined the endorsement test by noting that in cases involving state participation in religious activity, one of the relevant questions is whether an objective observer acquainted with the text, legislative history, and implementation of the statute would perceive it as a state endorsement of prayer in public schools. The Supreme Court then provided a more concrete explanation of how the test functions in the public school context, explaining that school sponsorship of a religious message is impermissible because it sends the ancillary message to members of the audience who are non-adherents that they are outsiders, not full members of the political community, and an accompanying message to adherents that they are insiders, favored members of the political community. In Zelman versus Simmons-Harris, the Supreme Court applied the endorsement test to a school voucher program. In Good News Club versus Milford Central School, the Supreme Court applied the test to a school district's policy regarding a religious student club meeting on school property. In Mitchell versus Helms and Agostini versus Felton, the Supreme Court applied the test to programs providing governmental aid to parochial schools. In Rosenberger versus Rector and Visitors of the University of Virginia, the Supreme Court applied the endorsement test to a public university's policy regarding funding a religious student newspaper. Defendants maintain that this court should not apply the endorsement test to the challenged ID policy because the Supreme Court did not apply the test to the creationism statutes at issue in Epperson and Edwards. As plaintiffs aptly state, however, Epperson was decided in 1968, 5 years before Lemon, and accordingly nearly two decades before Justice O'Connor first began to articulate the endorsement test as a way to conceptualize Lemon. In addition, not only did Edwards likewise predate the test's adoption in Allegheny, but contrary to defendants' assertion, the Supreme Court did invoke at least the endorsement concept in that case. Moreover, it is notable that Edwards was a purpose case, so it would have been unnecessary for the Supreme Court to delve into a full-scale endorsement analysis, even had the test existed at that time, as the test is most closely associated with Lemon's effect prong rather than its purpose prong. A review of the above-cited Supreme Court cases reveals that none of them involve a challenge to a religious display. Yet, in each such case, the Supreme Court reviewed the challenged governmental conduct to ascertain whether it constituted religious endorsement. Additionally, in each cited case, the Supreme Court reviewed a public school district's or public university's policy touching on religion. It is readily apparent to this court that, based upon Supreme Court precedent, the endorsement test must be utilized by us in our resolution of this case.